if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Just following on from that theme. I'll just read from verse 8 through to verse 16. Exodus 17, verse 8 through to 16. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, and they took a stone and put it under him, verse 12. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one to one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekites' army with the sword. When the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven." So Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Amen. A familiar verse to many, but nevertheless a wonderful, wonderful verse, a passage of scripture. Now, the Amalekites were a nomadic tribe, and they were descendants from Edom, and they lived off the land, grazing, moving with their flocks. And when Israel came into their area, the Negev, to the south of Israel, they may have been a little bit of pressure in terms of this group of people and that group of people with their flocks, with their herds, or it might have just been, they've got more than we have, let's take some of it. Whatever the reason, they started to attack. They didn't talk, they didn't negotiate, they just began to attack the Israelites. Their numbers would probably have been a few thousand, because we read there that it says that Moses said to Joshua, "Take some of our men." He didn't take the whole army, he took some. It seems to suggest that it was a kind of a guerrilla warfare, maybe, you know, with their camels, with their horses. The Amalekites were sort of picking off stragglers, picking off strays, rushing in to the camp on a night, or that kind of guerrilla warfare, which is very, very difficult to contain, and it could just go on and on and on. That would probably have been some of their tactics, a constant annoyance. It was therefore a difficult battle to fight, and Moses gets involved by saying, "Listen, I'm going to go on top of the hill with the staff of God, and I'm going to intercede." It wouldn't have been just about, you know, issuing commands from the top there with his staff, because at the end of the day, we read that in that last passage that he named it what he named it, because he raised hands to the Lord. He raised hands to the Lord. So this was an act of not only command, but an act of prayer. And when he raised his hands, the Israelites began to win. But he grew tired. And when he tired, his hands began to fall. Have any of you seen The Strongest Man? You know, The World's Strongest Man, not me, but The World's Strongest Man. When they have one of the trials that they go through, they have a lot of trials, and one of them is to have a weight. That weight was probably the weight of us, you know what I mean? More than a human being. And then they've got to hold it out there, their hands outstretched. It's a hard thing to do without a weight, even just to keep your hands out there. It's a hard thing sometimes to keep your hands raised, whether in worship or in some other activity, to keep your hands raised for a long period of time. And he went on for hours, right through till sunset. So he got tired and his hands began to fall, and when they fell, the Amalekites started to win. When they were raised, the Israelites began to win. And so along comes Aaron and Hur, and they said, sit down. They put him on a stone and they held his hands up, one on one side of him, one on the other side of him. And they kept his hands raised so that Israel just kept winning, kept the pressure on until their enemies were defeated and they won the victory. A number of things I want to say from that. But before then, just about the raising of hands. The raising of hands. When we look at the scripture, it says a number of things. A number of examples. Psalm 63, verse 4. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. In your name I will lift up my hands. An act of praise. And that's why we lift our hands. For those of you who don't know me, I was raised in an Anglican background, and it was a very quiet church. And when I got saved, when I met Jesus, 19 years of age, it was in a big rally in Leeds Town Hall. And the person who counseled me, against my will, by the way, my sister sort of pushed me in the room. But when it was just me and this guy, for the first time I really shared where I stood with God. I'd not really talked to it with anybody in any depth. And I shared with him, you know, why, oh, I'm afraid that, you know, 19 years of age, I'll have to give up this, I'll have to give up that. And I'm afraid what my friends would think. I might lose some friends. It was nothing about belief in God, because I believed. But I was just afraid as to what it would mean to give myself. And I just talked it through. He didn't say a thing. He just listened. And he just, all he said at the end was, so what are you going to do? And the Spirit of God just took over. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That was the verse that came to my mind. And I said, oh, I'm going to put you first, Lord. That's what it's saying. And then you'll take care of my friends. You'll take care of my fears. Because that is what the verse is saying. And that's how I became a Christian. And when I became a Christian, this guy was a Pentecostal. He went to a Pentecostal church, the Elim Church in Leeds. And so he introduced me to his son. And I went to the youth meetings on a Friday. You know, there wasn't anything in the church I was going to. There was nothing at all. And it was amazing. Young people believed in Jesus. It was fantastic. And so, just got involved there, took off. And then I went to the first service on a Sunday. And I came in through the back. And as I walked in, I think it was a very white middle class. There was hundreds of people, but it was very white middle class. And I walked in there with my long coat on, my big afro. And, you know, I looked around and I just sat at the back. And they started praising God. And there were people with their hands raised. They were singing songs like that hymn we sang. It is well with my soul. Shivers were going down my spine. My hair was stood on end. It was just absolutely, you know, the presence of God was just amazing. And I really wanted to lift my hands, but I wasn't accustomed to it. So I was there. My feet started to want to do this. And I couldn't move them because I felt... And so I went home and I said, what is this experience? And so I went home and I knelt by my bedside, as was my custom, to pray. And I just did it. It was forced. I just And I'd never prayed out loud either. So just, Lord, and I heard my voice for the first time, as it were, praying. And I began to pray out loud, and something was released. Physically, because of my physical action, something was released spiritually. And that's what the raising of hands is about. It's an expression. It just helps us. Whether it's the dance or, in this case, the raising of hands, that physical expression gives us freedom to really enter into the worship of the Lord. So hands used to praise God. Hands raised used to offer sacrifice. Psalm 141 verse 2, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Sometimes it costs to worship because the situation is not good. The circumstance is not good. My body is not good. My feelings are not good. My relationships, whatever the reason, sometimes it costs. And when David and others, people in the scripture say, I will bless the Lord, it's almost against how they're feeling. But because they know it's right thing to do, I will bless the Lord. I will raise my hands to acknowledge you and to acknowledge my fealty to you. Raising of hands in Nehemiah 8:6, to affirm. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen! Amen! People raise their hands for all kinds of things. They raise their hands to give salute to their superiors. God is our superior. Can we not raise hands to Him? But more to the point, Psalm 28:2, the raising of hands involved the crying out to God. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. The raising of hands can be an expression of our desperation, our cry to God in a difficult circumstance. Oh God, help me. Can be like that, with sobbing and weeping that way, but sometimes we just want to open ourselves up to God because it just releases something of the intent. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I remember my dad became a Christian. He was second to last. My brother was the last one, but my dad, and after all the witnessing, after, you know, all the stuff that we tried, as more and more of the family is becoming Christian, he was just stubborn. And then one night, he was just sleeping, and he had a vision. And he called us up to pray with him. So my mom, me and my sister, he called us to pray with him, and he explained this vision. It meant nothing to us. It didn't really smack of salvation in any way, shape, or form. But he just said, I was walking down the road and this army truck with a covered wagon with the back open. And it was driving past. And as I went, there was people reaching out with their hands towards me. And just tears filled my eyes as if they were going on a last journey somewhere. And their hands were reaching out. And in that moment, Jesus spoke to him. Very strange. But he yielded to Jesus on that moment. A very strange vision, but praise God it happened. But what a vision of hands reaching out, crying out, help! Hands can be used in that context as well. And of course, hands can be used to pray. 1 Timothy 2:8, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer, without anger or dispute. Everywhere to lift up holy hands. Remember, holy means distinct from, separate from. when we lift up our hands to the Lord, it's as if they become holy, because the direction of raising that hand is for God. It's dedicated to God. That makes it holy. Lift up holy hands to the Lord to pray. And this brings us back to what was happening on that mountaintop. He was lifting holy hands to God on behalf of his people as they fought desperate battles. And at the end of it all, it says he built an altar and he called it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. For hands were lifted up to the throne of God. Now, banner, in terms of armies, were used as ensigns. They were used to give direction. They were used to rally troops. They were used for all kinds of things. For some, it was just a pole. But in latter years, it became flags that were attached to those, and certain colors, etc., whether it was on the field or whether it was on ships, they played an important part in giving direction and in rallying troops. So just a number of things just from this. Firstly, from that little story, the importance of prayer and the importance of intercession. The Lord's Prayer says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Complete obedience in heaven. It's us who struggle down here to give complete obedience. Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's vital that in every earthly situation we find ourselves in, that we include God. We seek to include him in what's happening down here, asking for his help and his advice. Satellites, you're familiar with satellites? They call them, there's hundreds of them out there. Around the equator, they have geosatellites that stay in the same place. Now, the fact that they stay in the same place doesn't mean they don't move. They are actually traveling at over 22,000 miles an hour. The speed of the rotation of the Earth. So because it's traveling at the same speed, it stays in the same place. Does that make sense? It stays in the same place over a certain country or over a certain situation. And then you have on the ground, you have satellite stations with big shields, big curved shields, and they send out microwave signals to it. The signals come back, but once it hits the satellite, the satellite can disperse it to wherever. And they have a range of up to a third of the planet. And so from the single signals going out from whichever station going up there, what comes back can cover the Earth. And you get instant response. Well, God is our satellite. God is our satellite. Whereas those physical satellites only cover a percentage and are limited in that sense, our God is able to take every micro signal, every micro prayer that is uttered across the face of this earth that's directed towards him. He can take it, magnify it, and send it back. Send back the communication for that prayer that's been uttered. Because our God is able. He's a great big God. You should notice also that for a battle on earth, there could well be a battle in heaven going on as well. So in Daniel 10:12, we read this. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." So this was Daniel in a period of fasting and praying before God on behalf of his people. And then he gets this visitation from an angel of God. And this is the angel speaking. He goes on, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." Then he continued, "Don't be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." So, in other words, Daniel was praying for his people. But there was also going, something was going on in the heavenlies. And we don't know. It's an area we are not greatly knowledgeable in. But what we do know is that there is a spiritual battle in the heavenlies as well. And therefore, how much more, if we've got battles here on earth, should we include God in those battles? Because we don't know what else is affecting our situation spiritually. So, the importance of prayer and intercession is one thing that we get from this particular passage. Another thing that comes from this to me is the importance of spiritual support. Moses grew tired. He grew tired. It wouldn't have only been sad for Moses to pray alone, but it would also have meant that he would have failed. He would have failed because his hands would have fallen to his side and his people would have lost the battle. But the thing that actually saved them was Aaron and Hur keeping his hands raised. Spiritual support. And so for some of us, the victory that we're looking for privately needs the help of others. We need the help of us. And can I just say, you know, church, I'm just so thankful for the real belief and trust in God that is displayed in the church. The amount of people who ring to include in prayer. Now, that is not a small thing, because it's saying to me that they're understanding this principle that they can achieve so much alone, but there's just times when they need other support. They need a breakthrough which only comes with the help of others. And if people are doing, that's a great thing. It's a great thing, you know, to ring up and say, please, Glenn, I need prayer. Or can you send a notice out for this situation? That demonstrates to me great faith. Amen? And that's a really positive thing, and long may that continue. We need one another. Individual prayer is vital. It's our bread and butter, but there's time when corporate prayer, together with others, including others, is also really important as well to help us get the breakthrough that we so desperately need. It also says to me the importance of teamwork. Moses, Aaron, and Hur. They're on the mountaintop, and they're keeping the prayer going. In the valley, there's Joshua, and there's all the troops fighting. There's teamwork going on here. There's teamwork recognizing different gifts, different ministries that's happening. Put them together and they win. Separate them and they would have lost. Teamwork is absolutely vital, a working together. We need one another. Amen? We need one another. We really do. The picture of a wolf, the wolf pack, the lion pack, the hyenas, they're not the strongest animals out there, but they hunt in packs. And they're not stupid. They look not for the whole herd, but they look for one. One straggler, one who's struggling, and then they're in. And they can maneuver themselves to surround and drive them in the right place where they can finish them off. And isn't it a shame if we lose a battle because we're fighting it on our own, when there's a team of people who can help? We need one another. And look at, fourthly, the position. He sat on a rock. So in other words, there's actually no, when it comes to prayer, there's no defined position in prayer. You look through the scriptures and you can see people like him sat on a rock. You can see people standing. You can see people sat down. You can see people prostrate on the floor. You can see people on their knees. It's not the posture, it's the praying. That is the key. So in conclusion, God is our banner, our rallying point. And at times, we need to rally. At times, on the battlefield, if the troops were dispersed, if they're under defeat, when that ensign went up, when that flag went up, when that pole went up, whatever it was that gave the signal, went up to say, come together, come together, come together, they rallied. They got around it, and it gave them hope then to once again to be able to face the enemy together rather than on their own, in rout. God is our banner, our rallying point in times of need. He's the one we come to. For every battle we face on earth, let's win it first in the heavenlies. God is our divine satellite. He sees the bigger picture. And it's wiser that His will be done than ours, no matter how good it seems, because He sees that bigger picture. We all grow weary, and we all need support of others to pray effectively. And there are times when only corporate prayer achieves certain things, achieves the breakthrough. We are one body, but we have many gifts. Many gifts that are effective and powerful when worked together. And so, I want you to leave a little bit of time at the end of this service for us to pray and to share together, come before the Lord together, because we don't often get the opportunity. And this is a difficult part because, you know, not everybody likes small groups or that kind of thing. But there is a time for corporate prayer. There is a time to come together. And there's a time to learn. I learned how to raise my hands because I was in the presence of people who raised their hands. Our children will learn to raise their hands because they're in the presence of people who raise their hands. I learned to pray in the presence of others. I'd never prayed aloud, but because I went to that prayer meeting, people were standing up and praying aloud. We've heard one or two this morning. And, oh, I didn't know that. So I began to inquire. And next thing, I was praying out loud because I've seen other people do it. That's how children learn. And we are children of God. We are learning new skills, spiritual skills. Spiritual dynamics. I sing with all my heart because I was in the presence of people who sang with all their heart. I clapped because I was in the presence of people who clapped with joy, exuberance. We learn from watching others, and we learn spiritual disciplines from watching others. And so this morning, I'd like us to come to prayer. And I'd like to just leave that space for folks to give thanks or to pray or to ask, please pray for me. I think what is happening is more than just me. I need help. I need a number of people praying into this to help me get through it or to help my friend. It needs more than just me. Because this is a time when we come to pray of encouragement. It's a time expressing unity. It's a time of helping one another to grow in the presence of God. There is things to pray for, but I won't mention that just now. I'd like Godfrey, if you just come. I pray that as we've been worshiping, you've experienced something of a breakthrough already. But there might be some things that are still really on your heart. And as Godfrey just prays, I just want us to feel free just to relax and to sit. But if there's something, back to us. God bless you. Don't forget the refreshments and stuff to the right, my right, your left as you go.